This is Fresh Air. Our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, has a portrait of the first girl group that made a name singing harmonies in New York City, the Chantels. The liner notes on one of their albums read, "The Chantels, with their swinging tunes, have beat the Russians to the moon." But Ed tells us they didn't achieve such heights without paying a price.
Ask any kid in a band, how badly do you want to make a hit record? What would you be willing to do for it? What's really amazing is how few would-be rock and roll stars have any idea what they might be up against. On the one hand, you can call it naive, while on the other hand, you could call it innocent. And despite all the horror stories you've heard, the innocent don't always lose out in the rock and roll business. Take, for instance, the story of the Chantels. When they hit the scene in 1957 with The Plea, which we just heard, the Chantels were an impossible novelty. At the time, street corner harmony was a guy's business, and New York had hundreds of boys looking for that big break. Maybe that's why Richard Barrett, waiting to go on stage with his group The Valentines at a Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers show, thought he was onto something when he heard the five girls harmonizing in the backstage area. He wasn't the first to figure it out. Their schoolmates at St. Anthony of Padua had often remarked that they didn't sound like five girls, they sounded like a choir. A very young choir. Lois Harris, Sonia Goring, and Jackie Landry were all 16 years old, but Renee Minas and the remarkable lead singer Arlene Smith were only 13. Still, as Frankie Lyman had shown, youth was no barrier to talent, and so Richard Barrett took the Chantels into the studio and cut The Plea and He's Gone. Trouble was, He's Gone was the side they pushed, and once you get past that ethereal opening, it's a pretty standard tune. But Barrett was determined. He had plenty of songs, it seemed, and just needed the one special one that would capture Arlene Smith's amazing voice. In 1958, he found it. When he played Maybe for George Goldner of End Records, for whom he and the Chantels recorded, Goldner agreed that that was the song. He took the girls into the studio again and started recording. Legend has it that it was one of the most brutal recording sessions of all time. Goldner harassed Arlene, told her she was no good, that she was wasting his time, that she'd be sorry. They'd record a take, and he'd tell her it was worse than the one before. Finally, hours after they'd begun, the piano player, Raul J. Sita, counted off the intro once again, and they had it.
Come back.
But innocence has its rewards. After trying a solo career, Arlene Smith went to Juilliard and worked for a while as a studio singer. She married and had a few kids and lives today in New York. Although she gave up the music business a long time ago, from time to time she gets together with reunited harmony groups like the Jive Five or the Harptones just for the fun of it. Maybe sold a million copies in 1958 and opened the door for the girl groups who came later. And Arlene Smith found out what a hit record can cost.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.